On this week's episode of the Cold Corner Podcast, the boys will discuss NFL action, NBA action, some brief NHL action, all, unfortunately, without Christian. Let's go. Season 6, episode 6 of the Cold Corner Podcast.
Sorry, I just wanted to get one.
Do that. That's a good one. I like doing that every single week. But Constantine Lambert, Matthew Pastier, Sam Mendelsohn, Christian Selmayr, not here.
Captain Selmayr, actually?
What?
Captain Selmayr, actually?
Captain Selmayr, not here.
Christian, the captain of the wrestling team, Selmayr.
Along with Robert Stone, Ibrahim Khan, and Juan Rodriguez, I believe. All captains of the wrestling team, we wish them the best in their wrestling ventures. Very excited for them to start their senior years and dominate like usual. But speaking of dominance, the New York Jets.
Yeah, got dominated by the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, that was a tough game to watch, as is most Jets games, if we're being completely honest. There's really nothing new that I can say about the Jets, and I'm very...
You could just say that they lost the franchise quarterback. Mike White's not going to be the next Tom Brady.
Yeah, Mike White probably not going to be next
Tom. They're making the weird decision of starting Joseph Flacco.
Yeah, but look, so we're going to get into that. Yeah, Jets lost 45-17 to Buffalo. Mike White, 251 yards, four interceptions on that one. Jeez. That's... You owe me a suit.
No, you owe me
a suit. All right, but Mike White, that was a tough loss, and I'll agree. But I think that they should still start him, and I think everybody thinks that they should still start him. I don't know. There's really no...
There's no upside
to starting Joe Flacco, at least with the upside with Mike White.
Is he
young, and he can go out there and hopefully contribute something of value, and maybe he can prove himself after a tough week. Everyone has...
He's also shown his upside. I mean, he's won him a game this year. I mean, what other quarterback throws for 400 yards and 3 touchdowns in their debut?
Yeah, not a lot. So there's obviously something there. It's not like he's a terrible quarterback. He had a very bad week, and that might be indicative of the fact that he doesn't have the it factor to be a quarterback. But the first week
they
that
should
he played,
they should stick with him.
But yeah, they should. Yeah, they should just stick with him. I think he's a great. I think he's got obvious talent. And one bad week shouldn't deter the Jets.
Even when he got on the drive where he got hurt, like, he was still playing good against the Colts.
Yeah, no, he was playing good against the Colts before he got hurt. There's really no use for starting Joe Flacco. There's not, other than if you want to lose a game in the tank, which is, like, fine. But
you lose a game with Mike White,
yeah, you lose a game with Mike White. At least you might get something good, like a solid performance out of that. And
exactly.
Yeah, there's really nothing else that... I could say about
Giants
that.
Giants were on a bye week, so that's good.
Yeah.
We're on the field last week, didn't lose.
Yeah, we didn't lose on, like, the Jets. Mm-hmm. Andrew Thomas saying, and Barkley.
The Jets did not have the most disappointing performance of the week. The Steelers
that?
Are the worst team in the NFL.
Steelers bad.
Steelers, that was bad, yeah. So, Pittsburgh Steelers.
They got lucky that Detroit is so bad.
A 16-16 tie against Detroit. Detroit had a game-winning field goal. I think they might have had just one, though. And they missed it in overtime.
Yeah, no, there's that was definitely a tough performance from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Tying the Detroit Lions is never something.
It's Detroit a contender. They are undefeated in the month of November.
Who?
Detroit. They have not lost so far in the month of November.
Well, that's improvement, at least, for the Detroit Lions. Jared Goff, though, something I was talking about with Matt and Sam, Jared Goff is not playing
not very well.
And I feel like...
I love the kid.
No, I feel like we're kind of going in circles with the Jared Goff debate in the sense that we just keep talking about, like, the same thing about how he's not that good. And this week just confirmed that he's not the guy. And
he's not that guy.
I don't even know if the Lions
are the
guy.
Struggle if you're in the main office.
Yeah.
If you're in, please call the main office or contact the main office. Thank you. All
right. Thank you. But the Detroit Lions, yeah, Jared Goff, I don't think they ever thought that he was the guy at that position. So hopefully they can go into the draft. I know Sam is always good with his draft analysis. What do you think the Lions
he's
do?
Usually only
this draft, I'm not going to pronounce this guy's name right, so Kevon Thibodeaux, The defensive edge from Oregon should be the first pick of the draft.
Kayvon Thibodeau?
Yeah, I cannot pronounce his name. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
He's an absolute monster. He should be the first pick.
He is a monster.
And then if they're looking at quarterbacks, I mean, this is just the hot take. Most people have Matt Corral, quarterback Ole Miss, number one in the class, but I have
Malik Willis,
quarterback from Liberty.
I like Malik Willis.
But overall, this quarterback class is not very strong. I mean, this was last year. None of these guys would be first-round picks.
So with the first overall pick, you're thinking Kayvon Thibodeau. With that first pick.
He's a generational edge talent. You have to.
You call everyone a generational.
Call every year.
He's the
next.
He's the second best edge prospect since Chase Young.
Chase Young was a generational.
Chase Young was 2 years ago. You can't be. You can't have two generational talents in one.
Come on, he's like 6'6", and he's gonna run the.
You literally every year there's a generational talent that.
Okay, hot take. This is the hot take because Matt definitely has the same opinion as me. People use the word generational talent way too much.
The only generational talents that you can argue are Tom Brady and Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, that's fair. Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. Well, but the context that
and Mac Jones, the generational talent.
I'm
not with that.
The term generational talent is usually used when evaluating like a top one quarterback.
Yeah,
because
like everybody's
called everyone.
Yeah, now like this year, like there's three generational talents per draft. Like last year, the generational talents everybody was saying was Chiefs. Lawrence is a generational talent. By
Kyle Pitts is a generational. Talent.
Some people are calling Wilson a generational talent.
Did anyone call Jamar Chase a generational?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people. This is gonna yell at me after this, hopefully. But Jamar Chase is a very good wide receiver, and he's gonna be a top five wide receiver in the NFL at some point in his career. But he's not a generational talent, and the fact that people said that is absolutely ridiculous.
No, but he was
even
still the right
him and Joe Burrow.
He's not like Jerry Rice is a generational talent.
Yeah,
Randy
Moss. I feel like the only generational talents we've seen on wide receiver: Jerry Rice and Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Like that's it. Or actually, no, I'm wrong. Calvin Johnson, I feel like, is definitely a generational talent.
He's generational talent, but I feel like he didn't.
And you're telling me Antonio Brown's not a generational talent?
Yes.
Antonio Brown's a generational talent. That's just my opinion.
I don't know. I think you might be. There's definitely a case to be made.
There's an argument to be made that Antonio Brown's
the
top
reason I'm saying Calvin is because he was like 6'6", 340, just an absolute like freak of nature. And he could have played. I feel like if he didn't play for the Lions, he would have played for so much longer.
Kadarius.
Okay, but Antonio.
So that's why some people might not.
Name another receiver in NFL history who had a 5-year span of a minimum of 100 catches, 8 touchdowns, and 1,300 yards.
So I'd be like, let me say something really specific.
No
one can
really
name
specific.
So no one can name any player that has this because it's way
right. Yeah, no,
yeah,
but
it's only
honestly,
Antonio Brown.
But I agree with
Antonio
you.
Antonio Brown might have the best 5-year stretch of any receiver of all time. He was dominant for 5 years.
He still has it. I think he fell off a little bit.
And he's kind of not a good guy.
But I mean, good guys.
Also, Tyreek Hill is not a good. He's a great receiver. Not that good. People overhype him so much.
How was Tyreek Hill overhyped?
He drops a lot.
Yeah, he drops
he's
a lot.
The perfect. All right, what's the perfect receiver for
Antonio
Mahomes?
Brown's the perfect receiver. The perfect receiver for Mahomes is someone who.
It's Tyreek Hill.
He's perfect for Mahomes. But if he had another quarterback, he would not be this hyped up.
Alex Smith. He did good, huh?
He had a
he
really
did
good
year
with
Alex
Smith,
but he wasn't top one in the world receiver. People are calling him top number one the receiver. Mahomes is the perfect quarterback.
Who's better
for Tyreek
Hill? Who would you rather
Mahomes
have in the
succeed
league?
With like any wide receivers.
No, he can't.
Yes, he can.
Yeah.
Because he's the
he
best quarterback.
Hardman,
he is.
All right, give him Mecole Hardman, Byron
Hardman,
Pringle, and Josh Gordon. Is he succeeding?
Yes.
Yeah, because
succeeding
he's
succeeding or succeeding?
No, because he's an amazing quarterback. But the thing with Tyreek Hill is a very good wide receiver. Top 10 in the NFL is what I'm going to say. But people overhype him and call him the best receiver in the NFL, and that's just plain wrong.
I agree. He's not a top
hot take. Cooper Kupp's on pace to have the best NFL season of all time from receiver, but is he a top 5 receiver in the NFL? I'm going to have to say no.
This season, yes.
Cooper
Kupp
this season, yeah.
Like, it's just so weird. Like, are people going to consider Kupp one of the best receivers of all time?
If he
all
has,
said and done.
That's actually an interesting debate to have. Because if he breaks Calvin's record, if he breaks Calvin's record, he is not going to go down like that all-time top receiver ever.
Because he's not like
17.
He's barely played in the league, though.
Yeah, and he's barely played in the league.
He's missed seasons.
So when it's all said and done at the end of his career, I think he's going to be a phenomenal talent. I don't know if he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Probably.
Yeah, because like, what you say, like on the pace he's on right now, even in 16 games, he's on pace to have the best receiving season of all time. But yardage wise,
it's so weird how like every stat changed for a season now because of
because of the extra game. Honestly, I don't know the extra game so much. Yeah, so pivoting from our generational talent debate to this other debate, I don't like the extra game. I think it's not fair that
some teams have extra home games during the season than others. And in every record, like, that's been around for like 50 years, it's just going to get broken now.
Yeah, like, and also...
But
yeah,
Tom
like
Brady
one game,
is on record to break the most passing yards in a season because he has an extra game.
Yeah, one game makes so much difference. And that, too, just statistically speaking, and then also competitively speaking, about the fact that it's an extra game. But honestly, we didn't need the extra game.
I agree.
The NFL just wanted money. All right, so if you want an extra week, why don't you just add two bye weeks and stretch the season out? Add two byes instead.
And stretch the season out. So would every team... Oh, no, I see what you're saying.
So every,
it's still 16 games,
so
just
two
byes.
So it's 18 weeks,
okay.
But then there's more weeks because every team has two byes.
Yeah, then yeah, I guess they could do that, but again, they wanted the extra cash flow.
They want revenue.
Which, like, it's a business.
And then they
can do what they
I
want.
I also hate the 17. I hate the 17 postseason.
I think
the second seed should have a bye week.
But then that wouldn't work.
But honestly, if the second seed's playing the seventh team, it's basically.
Yeah, like, I know, but I'm saying, like, I like how it used to be.
Yeah, no, I like how it used to be, just because it was even numbers and all that. But I kind of like this, because now we can get Monday Night Football games in the postseason.
Who's hyped for Nickelodeon postseason?
Yes, MVP. MVP. I can't wait to vote for an MVP.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy that Mitch Trubisky won MVP.
He deserved it.
That's such an awesome award to win. Like, realistically.
If you were good at football, yeah. Not his fault, it's Nagy's fault, though. Me and Sam were just talking about this. Like, honestly, I love Trubisky. I have a jersey,
I have
an autograph.
You like Trubisky a lot. And honestly, I'm not going to be like, Trubisky is the best quarterback ever, but Nagy's not the best coach. So that kind of messed up.
Trubisky had potential, but it was ruined.
Yeah, I could see that.
Like most quarterbacks, like the Jets.
Like Sam Darnold. I miss you ever.
Sam Darnold has no potential.
Not anymore.
He had potential 2 years ago.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But moving on, just some recent NFL news instead of our debates. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers with a tough loss to the Washington football team, 29-19. Taylor Heinicke finally getting his win over Tom Brady. Much deserved, honestly. Matt, this kind of hurts Tom Brady's MVP case. So what do you think we're expecting to see for the rest of the season from him?
He's going to go off.
As a Tom Brady.
He's going to have a 5-touchdown game versus the
I just want to say this. Shout out to Tom. Tyler Heinicke has been balling in his career against the Buccaneers.
Yeah, he really has.
He's like Patrick Mahomes against the Buccaneers. He's just a backup quarterback against every team.
It's really insane.
Like, no quarterback.
I don't like Washington. They're my favorite team in the NFC East, though, besides the Giants, obviously. And I hate how the organizations run and everything. But Taylor Heinicke, you can't hate Taylor Heinicke. He's such
really
a good story.
Can. It's an amazing story. He's
and
a
also,
great guy.
He has a deal with a partnership with Bud Light for Bud Lighticke because Heineken declined his idea of a sponsorship. And
oh
then Bud Light offered
God.
Him one. And so they're now at the stadiums, they have Bud Lighticke's.
That's so awesome. I didn't hear about that. That's so cool. But yeah.
Shout out to Coach Gannon, he told me.
Shout out Coach Gannon. But yeah, Tom Brady throwing two picks in the first half. Obviously uncharacteristic of Tom Brady. But it seemed like they were doing all right for the remainder of the game.
If the defense could have had one more stop, they would have. Because Mike, they literally had like the drive where Mike Evans had a 50.
They had a 10-play drive.
So
going forward, the Buccaneers, I don't think they necessarily need to change anything.
They just need to get healthy.
They have a lot of injuries.
This is an off week. I think honestly, I'm still sick in my opinion that they go to the Super Bowl.
All right, here's just a quick question. Because the AFC this year, it's more open than ever. Who do you think's coming out? That's
the Chiefs.
I'm gonna.
Look,
this is a very, very bold prediction.
I'm sticking with my.
But I'm gonna go with the Patriots coming out of it.
I could see the Patriots going to the AFC Championship. I know I can't.
I can see the Patriots.
Who's
going
your
the
favorite to
round?
Lose
yeah,
in the NFC
Divisional?
No,
I can't see the AFC Championship.
No, I don't think they have that like extra mile, and that's like the big thing with the playoffs that you need. That you need that extra gear. That
I think
that
depending when Derrick Henry's healthy. I mean, look at the Titans being.
What's his injury
off,
like? What's his injury like technically?
It's a Wes Frank injury. So the earliest he can return is week 17. So he can return against the Dolphins in week 17 earliest. But if
they're not
going to
play in week 17.
Yeah, they're probably going to hold him out to the playoffs.
So honestly, I could see Titans going to the Super Bowl.
I could see them going to AFC Championship. I don't necessarily know if they're going to make Super Bowl.
I think that look at the way they're playing now. Julio's been out. And Derrick Henry's been out. Derrick Henry's
yeah,
like
but Julio's not going to bounce. Julio's been dealing with the same hamstring injury for 3 years. He's not the same player.
Yeah, but still, having him on the field is a big difference than not having him on the
also,
field.
Also, I actually would like to extend an apology to Sam, because last year I said that Julio was going to come back stronger, and Sam said no, I'm pretty sure. And
I probably said the same thing.
So yeah,
I was
saying
so, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, and I still good drafted job him in fantasy for some reason.
He did do that.
Sam contradicts himself. Every opinion he has, he has to have the exact opposite opinion like a month later. So
okay.
I'm going
to
keep on.
Should we move on to basketball?
Actually, I just want to go Chiefs beat the Raiders 41-14. I don't necessarily know if this shows that the Chiefs are like back, but I'm still picking them to go to the Super Bowl just because I like Mahomes a lot, and I think that the team can do a lot of damage if they just keep up that pace and they just and protect the ball.
But I still have the Titans coming up. Now I have Titans. I don't know who I was in the beginning of the year. I probably said Chiefs.
Also, we were talking about this during free period. Bills are phony and they were exposed.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. I think the Patriots are winning the division. They're going to win the AFC East.
Honestly, I could see the Patriots winning the division.
I don't know about division. I think they can get in as like
they
a
have the best
seed,
offensive
then,
line in the NFL.
Oh, they do have a great offense.
Their
it's the best in the NFL.
Their defense.
And Mac Jones is a very good.
He's only going to get better.
Player. Okay.
Jones is pretty solid, yeah. So,
moving on to
yeah,
National Basketball Association.
National Basketball Association. Last night, Brooklyn Nets, Golden
Curry
State Warriors.
Curry destroyed, exposed Steve Nash, the fraud he is.
You all remember when you all said the Warriors wouldn't make it to the NBA
but
Finals?
Honestly, I'm going to be...
I saw him say spelled Lakers and Nets.
Yeah, I think I'm still going
to
go with
but
that.
But I would like to apologize for saying because I did not think the Warriors would be this good.
I thought they were going to be solid. I think I said Curry MVP at the beginning of the year. So I'm sticking with that.
I'm sticking with KD.
Curry's great.
Curry MVP.
But you just said Curry exposed Steve Nash as the fraud he is. Elaborate.
Doesn't know what he's doing. Steve Nash doesn't know when to call timeouts. He doesn't know how to change plays. He had Bruce Brown and Blake Griffin on the floor at the same time, which is just a bad decision because both of them aren't like insane shooters, and Blake Griffin just doesn't like do anything on defense besides like get charges, which is cool and all. But like, it'd be nice if he actually tried. Or he has no offense whatsoever. Bruce Brown at least has a floater game, and he played really good offensively in the game. But Blake has not been playing good at all. Claxton and Millsap both were not in the game, so that's obviously a big thing. And also, Steve Nash says he's like testing the waters and everything. Then why isn't Sharp in the game? Why isn't Cam Thomas in the game? Why aren't we trying these young players that obviously clearly have potential and have been blowing up the G League and like Summer League and everything? Why don't we just put them in just to give them good enough minutes where they can maybe develop if we're testing the waters, whatever that means.
Sharp, 9 minutes, 7 rebounds.
And Kessler. Kessler had made 2 catch-and-shoot threes.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very solid performance. I know they played like the last 9 minutes of the game, garbage time practically, but it's not like Curry was still in the game at that point.
Yeah, so not necessarily garbage time, he's still playing. But Curry, 9 for 14 from three. That's some rough defensive playing right there.
Patty Mills, 9 for 12 from three.
Whatever, no one cares. Still, Golden State, 117-99 on Brooklyn. New York Knicks the day before.
Barely beat the Pacers. D-Rose almost had a choke job. D-Rose missed, like, airballed a wide open three at the end of the game, and then he got, like, that, he had the two, did he have a layup to seal it or whatever?
Layup.
Which was good at the end, but wow, they were lucky the Pacers did not play good at the end.
A win's a win.
A win is a win, I agree.
Yeah, a win is a win, but still, this should be a warning sign for the rest of the season, especially for our starting lineup, which has become absolutely atrocious, aside from Kemba occasionally, and Barrett when he...
I forgot Kemba's still on the team.
No, Kemba's been playing decent, like this last game, 8 for 11, 60 points, that's not bad, output at all. I'm also just going to say, Emmanuel Quickly is just amazing at basketball. 16 points, 4 for 4 from
three. He's very good.
He's been playing amazing this season.
RJ had the ice.
Yeah,
three,
RJ had
the
ice.
Three,
the only three that he makes sometimes. But RJ is such a terror. RJ is so inconsistent. It bothers me so much. Like, I can't.
He'll go off for like 35.
Yeah, he'll go off for 35, and literally 2 nights later, he's scoring like 2 points on 1 for 11 shooting. It's just.
It
garbage.
Is very strange.
It's so weird. I don't know how someone can be such a great player and then just be so terrible the next night, which is just sad almost.
Okay.
But also, Mitchell Robinson 3 blocks, pretty cool. Knicks need to step up their pace. They need to step up They need to step up their consistency, especially. They need to get locked into a good, solid defensive game plan like they did last year. No easy buckets.
I do.
Gridlock.
Oh, good news that I'm getting for Christmas. Got a KD City Edition jersey. Mm-hmm. Everyone clap it up.
Yeah.
And I kind of low-key want the RJ one.
Yeah, RJ, okay. Pretty solid jersey.
Those jerseys are really nice. The Knicks ones are nice.
The Knicks ones are really nice. I like them a lot.
I like the Nets ones better. Like, no bias. I just think the Nets ones are cooler.
The Nets ones are so
ones.
Cool. Oh, the Bulls ones?
Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to... They have no DeMar jerseys, like, for sale. I was on NBA Shop and everything.
Really?
I want a DeMar jersey for my birthday.
Get Levine. Levine is... Levine. I love Zach Levine. I think he's a great player.
But I always love DeMar.
You know what? Like, quick topic of the week. Favorite basketball jersey of all time. Player and... jersey.
The Notorious B.I.G. Brooklyn Nets Fuji jerseys from 2018-2019 season. 2018-2019, yeah.
Those are so good. I love that jersey.
They're so, like, not, like, they're, like, not, like, in your face, and they're so, like, just, like, chill.
Just
the
perfect jersey. Just the perfect jersey. I love that jersey.
Vintage Vince Carter, purple Raptors. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
that jersey.
Oh,
yeah.
With the
vintage
dinosaur one.
Yeah, everyone
one.
Has that Vince jersey. I want a Vince
jersey
like that.
Vince jersey. Okay.
I don't blame him.
You know, Denver. No, you know what? Not Denver. Utah Jazz, John Stockton, old purple 90s jerseys.
Yes.
I love those
are so nice.
They
so need
to
bring them back so
I need
good.
To get one of those.
I still need to get the. I need to get a D'Lo one of the.
The NBA, this made the jerseys worse. They were so much better back then.
They were
they were really cool.
The logos were
still
not the same thing.
I was about to say the Nuggets Mutombo jersey with, like, the Rainbow City.
So cool.
So cool.
Yeah, like, they're still not cool anymore.
I like the, what's it called? Oh, I mean, all the City jerseys this year look good.
Yeah, I know. I was looking at the City jerseys, and usually there are a couple ones where you're like, oh, boy. But they were all look pretty solid.
All look nice.
Yeah.
Like, last year, the Knicks ones I thought were atrocious when it just said, like,
I actually, honestly, they grew on me just because I remember them playing really well in those jerseys sometimes. But good podcast today, short podcast today, solid podcast. Got some good Sam with a good jersey opinion, and a lot of people would like thank Mr. Shree, Dr. Catapano, the administration, Mr. Doxy, class 2016 for their generous donation to our podcast setup, our listeners who listen every Thursday and occasionally Wednesdays, and we will see you next time.
Bye, Doug.